You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
Hello, 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 Miami Dolphin fans, and welcome to the Same Old Dolphin Show, part of the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network. I'm Josh Katzker, and not with me today is my brother from the exact same mother, Aaron the Brain. He's out. He's been ruled out for today's show, but we have activated somebody from the practice squad to fill his spot on the active roster. So please give a warm welcome to my brother from a different mother, Mike Oliva at Dolphins Talk. Mike, how's it going?
I am doing fantastic. Hope Aaron the Brain feels a little better. And he's back next week. I know he's week to week, so hopefully he's back next week.
That's right.
But yeah, I'm doing great. Happy to be with you here.
You want to give us a hello to the people?
To the people.
That's pretty good. Maybe not the genuine article, but it's very good. It's a very good practice squad hello to the people. So thank you for hopping on in short notice and doing this episode with us. It's a pretty good game, I think, this weekend that the Dolphins have coming up against the Washington Commanders. We're going to get the name correct on this episode of the show. We're absolutely getting the name of the team correct. But we're going to be talking about that game today. We're going to be previewing it, but there's a little bit of news that I want to talk about before we get into all of that. A reminder to everybody, if you're not doing so already, to make sure that you are following us on X, which is, you can find on twitter.com. You can follow me at Amplified to Rock. You can follow Mike at Dolphins Talk. You can follow the show at Same Old Dolphins. And you can also follow both of us on Blue Sky. I know that Mike isn't terribly active on Blue Sky, but I know he's over there. I'm over there. The show is over there as well. We're going to start doing some more business over there at Blue Sky. If you want to get on Blue Sky, holler at us. But also make sure you're visiting DolphinsTalk.com each and every day. It's your one-stop shop for all things Miami Dolphins. And of course, make sure that you download, rate, review, and subscribe to the Same Old Dolphins Show and subscribe to the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel, because we're going to have a lot of great content coming your way all throughout the rest of the season. We know that there's, six more games left in the season at least. And as long as this season keeps going like Hard Knocks, so are we. But unlike Hard Knocks, we'll keep going even after the season is over. So make sure you subscribe to the channel. Smash the like button on this video. That's the thumbs up just below the video window there. We appreciate it very much. Also, a shout out to everybody watching on the I'm a Miami Dolphin Fan Facebook page. We appreciate all of you joining us live or after the fact. Either way, we're glad that you are part of what we got going on here.
So thank you very much. We got UK, we got Mexico, we got people from good old USA. We got a little international flair tonight here in our YouTube chat who've joined us live.
Oh, Robert Ashton is watching from the airport in yes, the UK. Look at that, in the Manchester airport. I love it. Well, thanks everybody for joining us live. If you're watching after the fact, that's awesome too. Thank you for being part of the La Familia, as we say. So thank you very much, everybody. So before we get into, I guess we could get into the injury report that the Dolphins released today. I'm not reading too much into it. I think the one thing that I think is kind of interesting on that report that I want to look at, that I want to monitor as we go into Thursday, is the fact that both Javon Holland and Kendall Lamb are DNPs. I think those are probably the only two clues that we can take, that it looks like those are guys that may end up missing out this week. That's a little bit worrying, to be without Javon Holland potentially. Kendall Lamb, I wonder if he's a DNP. And again, if he's not good to go this week, I wonder what that means if Teron Armstead is obviously, we know he's making a full court press on Mike McDaniel to get in there and play this Sunday. McDaniel is wanting to be cautious with it. But if Kendall Lamb is in a place where he can't even practice because of this back injury or whatever it is that he's dealing with, I wonder if that changes the calculus as to what you do, because we don't know what the third string looks like when you get down to the left tackle position. We know that
Keon
when
Smith
Armstead has...
last week.
What's that?
He played last week.
Keon Smith did play a little bit last week. You're right.
Well, he played both right and left. He was in at left, and everything was fine until Austin Jackson threw a punch. And then he had to slap, and then right. He had to move around, and we had to play Kendall Lamb when they didn't want to. So Keon Smith, but the problem is, what happens in that, God forbid, moment, Keon Smith goes down. Then where are you?
Right. Yeah. So I'm very curious to see if that changes the calculus in terms of what Mike McDaniel wants to do in terms of the personnel playing on Sunday. It's just something to monitor. Those Tuesday and Wednesday practice reports can be a little bit misleading, but Thursday is usually a pretty good indication. So if we don't have Javon Holland and Kendall Lamb practicing in some capacity on Thursday, I think at that point you're probably looking at a pretty good chance that neither of them is active on Sunday. I don't know how many of those guys who are limited. I mean, and there's, I mean, the Miami Dolphins injury report reads something like a, I don't know, like one of those comedy scrolls that somebody has where they're like, I've got to make a speech. And it's like the scroll rolls down, you know, it's like a never ending roll of toilet paper. If you're reading the Dolphins injury report right now, it's bad news. But most of those guys, I think we expect to see at least some action, and we don't consider them to be like significant, you know, guys who are in danger of missing significant time. Again, the questions are we going to see Achan back in action? Are we going to see Teron Armstead back in action this week? Those are questions that are out there. I don't know that we're really going to have a whole lot of information based on this Wednesday report, but we'll see what things look like on Thursday. But the other thing that I wanted to talk about today, and because I think it's interesting from a Miami Dolphins perspective. I'm not typically one of those guys who goes, wow, this player is now on waivers. Let's automatically go out there and get him. But this one I think is particularly interesting. The Arizona Cardinals announced that they are moving on from Zach Ertz and are sticking with Trey McBride, their new tight end he was their tight end too, and they've decided that this is now their guy that they're rolling with going forward. So they're releasing Zach Ertz to let him go to waivers and potentially finish his career somewhere else. And so the question that I have for you, Mike, is Zach Ertz a guy that the Dolphins should think about kicking the tires on? Because it is a position where the Dolphins do have a little bit of a need.
Yeah. If they want to add him, it ain't going to hurt nothing. But the flip side of it is this. We don't use our tight ends, like, at all. So if you're going to put up money, and look, there's only six games left, so it would be prorated how much you're actually going to sign up for. It would be very little, but you are eating into salary cap space that now you can't carry over to next year. And we all know the salary cap challenges they're going to be facing next year, especially with a few key players. It's number one. So whatever you use, you're going to be eating into something. That's number one. Number two, you know, you look at if someone's bored, look up the stats on the year for the Miami Dolphins. Look at the reception leaders. After Hill and Waddle, it falls off a cliff. And I don't know if you add Zach Ertz into this offense, he's going to make any impact in the passing game. Now, if you want to add another blocker, if you want to add another tight end who might be an upgrade over Julian Hill as your backup tight end blocker or someone like that, sure, absolutely. I mean, it ain't like it doesn't hurt adding him. So it's fine. I just don't know if there's a need to because of how little we really use the tight end in our offense. The only personally, when I saw that, and I don't know every team's needs. Because I think he asked to be released, if I read it right, and they granted it to him. And he probably wants to go back to the Philadelphia Eagles, maybe when there, because he's a longtime Eagle. That's what I kind of read into it. I don't know, though. We'll see. But ain't going to hurt nothing if you want to add Zach Ertz to the Dolphins. But if you think he's going to come in here and start catching four or five passes a game, that ain't going to happen.
Yeah. And I don't know that it's necessarily for that, but I mean, this is a guy who does have ability as a blocking tight end. And that's kind of where the Dolphins utilize the tight end position most of all. But I mean, whether at this point in his career, he's still got the athleticism and speed that is going to be needed, that the Dolphins are going to demand out of their tight ends to sort of fit into that scheme, remains to be seen. But I thought it was an interesting question, something that was interesting to look at. Because it's there, it's news, and it's on the wire. So I figured, what the heck? Let's touch on it. But the main focus today, Mike, is the Washington Commanders. And the Dolphins go into this game knowing that if they go down to the nation's capital and get a victory, any victory at all, then that means that they will go into week 14 holding a 3-game lead at the top of the AFC East. And, you know, their magic number to clinch the division would be 3 at that point. So it's a big game from that perspective. But I think it's a big game from another perspective. And that is that one of the things that we have seen this Dolphins team do is get in its own way, particularly on offense in recent weeks, with whether it's turnovers, whether it's mental mistakes, whether it's what you call it, whatever you want. But the Dolphins have been kind of getting in their own way on offense over the past several weeks. I mean, it was probably every game that they played in the month of November. I think the last time that they played a game that was kind of a clean game on offense was, probably have to look all the way back to, I mean, I guess that they did play pretty well in the Jets game. Although, you know, again, we had some mistakes from Tua in this game.
In the Jets game.
I mean, he made another, it was one of those classic Tua turnovers. But, you know, I think you probably got to go all the way back to the Carolina game, maybe to find a game where the Dolphins played clean. And that game, they were down 14-0.
And then, if you go to the Giants game, he threw a pick six. You got to go back, to probably early October. I mean, I don't have the Dolphins. Let me call up right now real quick. You got to go back. Like, September was a great month for Tua. And pretty much Giants game, pick six. Carolina game, they fell behind 14-0. Philly game, he threw a late interception that pretty much ended the game. The Patriots game, from what I remember, he was pretty good. Kansas City game ended with a fumble. Vegas game wasn't exactly, they didn't set the world on fire, and he had a pick six versus the Jets. Again, anyone listening, do not read this into me trashing Tua. He's still an MVP candidate. He's having an exceptional year. He's healthy. It's a great year. But, you know, once again, 10 interceptions, 10 fumbles, 4 lost. Those are numbers. That's not debatable things. They actually happened in real life. So it's a little bit of a slump he's in, and really, the slump's been going on. I mean, look, those games against the Giants and Panthers, he's had mistakes in them. He still played well overall. But a full, clean game, it's been a bit. Been a minute, as the kids say. It's been a little minute. So we're hoping here, Tua, this little slump he's in, and it is just a little slump, he can sort of get out of it. Because for this team, Josh, you know this, to win big games, forget down the stretch in a regular season, because I think we're going to have this thing clinched, you know, either heading into Christmas Eve or on Christmas Eve. That's the way I see it. With the Bills' schedule, with our schedule, common sense, don't overthink this. Comes to week one of the playoffs. We need Tua to be ascending and out of the slump. We need everyone healthy. And you're talking about all the injuries on the offensive line. It comes down to this. The sooner you clinch, the sooner you can put Armstead in bubble wrap. The minute we clinch, Armstead's done for the regular season in my book. There's no reason. I mean, I know everyone wants to chase the one seed. I get it. But look at the Chiefs' schedule. Again, common sense. Are they going to lose twice? Are we going to run the table? Not impossible, just unlikely. So, what you know, common sense. Maybe even Achane. Once we clinch, you can put him in bubble wrap. Save him for the playoffs. You maybe give Mostert a week off because he's had a heavy workload this year. Maybe give him a week off. Give him a little rest here. Because if you're a 2, 3, or 4 seed, it matters, but it kind of doesn't. You're still getting one home playoff game. And if you're 2, 3, or 4, again, it's important, but being healthy is more important at the end of the day. So absolutely, the sooner we clinch, the sooner we can put, you know, not everybody, obviously, but we know who, Armstead, Achane, and bubble wrap. Mostert, maybe give him a week off just to heal up and rest up. And maybe, you know, maybe you give Howard 1 week off, you give Ramsey the next week off. Give them each a little time here to catch their breath. So there's things like that you can do. So, yeah, I mean, Tua's got to just play better. Clean it up. Turnovers is it, really. I mean, Other than that, he's fine this year. He's playing outstanding. He checked every box of what we wanted, starting with staying healthy. But yeah, the turnovers are starting to mount up here at not an alarming rate, but at a rate that goes, he's got to be a little better there.
Yeah, it's enough to make you a little bit worried. But that's where I think that this game against Washington is kind of coming at the perfect time. In fact, I think this game against Washington and next week against Tennessee, these are two games that are coming in at the perfect time for the Miami Dolphins, because they've got this defense that is now really rising and really playing at a very high level. And again, that defense has had the benefit of having a couple of soft opponents here as well. But this week is another example of that, but not exactly. But now it's time for the Dolphins offense to have a little bit of that get right game, and this is one of those opportunities, because we're looking at a Washington team that sold off a couple of its best assets. Chase Young, Montez Sweat. They traded them both away, and so significantly weakened their defensive front, which was their strength. They've still got a couple of guys on that defensive front that you're going to have to worry about a little bit on the interior. But for the most part, this Washington defense is really not a big threat. I think Washington is last in the league in scoring defense. So they're the team. They're the team that everybody goes to and scores a bunch of points against.
And if there's one thing.
Yeah, and they fired Jack Del Rio, so their defensive coordinator is gone. Ron Rivera is taking the reins back for his own defense that he's created, his own defense that has not looked terribly good. Ron Rivera, I think, is one of those candidates he's just one of those guys at this point where it's like, I don't think the NFL that you're coaching in now is the same NFL that you made your name in, and it feels like the game may have sort of passed him by a little bit. And so as a result, I think the Dolphins are going to have an opportunity here. This Washington defense is soft. They give up a lot of points. So what you would really like to see from the Dolphins on the offensive side of the ball is stay out of your own way, play clean, don't make mistakes, don't feel like you need to force anything. Just, this is your get right game. Third and short, run the ball. Tua, make good passes, make smart passes. Don't force it into tight windows. Don't feel like you need to go, get out over your skis. Just play a smart game, play within yourselves, and you should come out just fine from an offensive perspective in this one, Mike.
Yeah, I would think so. And when you look, if you actually look at the roster there for the Commanders, which I almost slipped up and said the other name, but for the Commanders.
Don't do it. We talked about this. Don't do
once
it.
Last night with Ian, I got through like 45 minutes and I caught myself at ruh, and I caught myself, but I was proud though. That was it. And so far tonight, I'm good, because that one doesn't count what I just did.
You're doing good. If you get it wrong, we'll have to get you with the cattle prod or something.
Yeah, there we go. But no, I mean, this is a game. You look at Washington secondary players, they're just not very good. And if there's ever a week, we all know Hill's chasing 2,000 yards. Quest of history, chase of history. And if there's a week where he just explodes, he has like 175 or 180. This is it. This is it. This is the week where he might just have a monster day. And really, it's not a sure thing until you get there, but just sort of end all doubt if he's going to do it. So that's one. And the Dolphins. And here's the thing that's so remarkable about this season, because I put myself out there last night on the show I did with Ian. Like, I actually drink Kool-Aid on the show. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. I am making myself emotionally vulnerable right now at this point. And I know it's just a win against the Jets. It's not that. It's that we beat the Jets. The Bills lost. We are in a primo spot inside the AFC East. We're in a primo spot inside the AFC. One seed or not, whatever. Cross that bridge when we get to it. We are in a primo spot health-wise. Even with the Jalen Phillips thing, it stinks. We get it. But that's kind of, Isaiah Wynn, nice player. Not real. I mean, yes, it's a loss on some level. Jalen Phillips is the only injury we really have right now, and it's going to be December 1st by the time most of you are listening to this on Friday.
Vigorously knocking on wood over here.
Yes, I know. I think this is a chance here for it to be a special season for us, and this is a game that we should just go out there and win. And what I was going to say about the offensive line is, the offensive line has been in flux all year. Guys in and out of the lineup. Armstead, almost never here. Robert Hunt, never got hurt until this year. He's missed three games, four games, whatever it is. Connor Williams was in and out there for about a month. Wynn goes down. I mean, we've had Liam Eikenberg, we've all had our fun at Liam. He played right guard. He's playing well. Center, a little bit of a roller coaster. He's filled in everywhere. Lester Cotton's been more, you know, the first game thrown out there against the Eagles. It's the Eagles. He wasn't expecting to be. He since then, he's been very good. The offensive line has been a mess health-wise, and we're still the number two overall offense in the league heading into December. It's remarkable. So this is a chance to be a special season, and, you know, you don't want to see no more season-ending injuries, obviously. But, yeah, I put myself out there. This is it. And you know me, like me and Aaron and myself are probably the most maybe cynical of those on our little podcast network family we have here at Dolphins Talk. And I'm all in right now. I'm not saying we're going to win the Super Bowl. I'm not saying that. But there is no reason we shouldn't have the AFC East wrapped up before those last two games are played, as long as the Bills don't get, like, good overnight. And they got their own issues right now. And, you know, win a home playoff game at least. Maybe two. Win two playoff games. That's not unreasonable with this team, with where they are today, and how everything, if you look around the AFC, I mean, are you afraid of the Jacksonville Jaguars? Look at the teams fighting for the wild card. Outside of the Bills, I mean, if we're playing Kenny Pickett in round one, who cares? Playing the Colts in round one, who cares? You're playing, you know, Houston. Okay, Stroud's having a nice year. I wouldn't be worried about them. The Broncos would be a nice story. Okay. I think we're in a good spot. And, yeah, go out there this week and beat Washington. Handle your business. We've done it every other week. Don't stop now.
Yeah, you have not had, there have not been a whole lot of times in the past probably 25 years.
At least.
Where you look at just the outlook around the league and you could honestly look at it and go, it's setting up. It's there. The table is set. Like, if there was ever a time, I mean, you look at it, there is not as good as Baltimore has looked at times. There is, you look at the AFC picture, there is not like some dominant team in the AFC that looks like that's clearly where the road to the Super Bowl is going in the AFC. There's no team where that is out there. I mean, if anything, you could probably argue that if there is a team, it's the Miami Dolphins. You know?
It is. I love this.
And again, yeah, as Robert Ashton says, optimistic Mike, this is a wild thing.
Scaring everybody.
But you know, it's
look, it says something in our favor. The schedule played out in our favor. Yep. The Chiefs aren't the Chiefs. Jacksonville's a young team. I don't trust them yet. And if a team up, I will buy into the Ravens. When a team's up by four, they can't rely on their kicker, and the Ravens got to go 75 yards to score a touchdown with 2 minutes to go. When Lamar Jackson can do that, then I'll buy into them. This guy's got one playoff whenever, and in crunch time, when he's got to make plays with his arm, he can't just go run around all the time. He always comes up short. So the AFC is there for the taking. We have just... Why not us? That's different. Why not us?
That's a great question, and I mean, I don't have a good answer for you at this point. But, you know, I think it's all setting up, but there's a lot that we've got to get through before we're there. And currently, the Washington Commanders are that team. Now, I think from an offensive standpoint, the Dolphins are going to have no problem doing what they want with the Redskins. They shouldn't have a problem executing the way that they want. This is not a team that generates a lot of pressure on the quarterback. I mean, they sacked Danny DeVito 8 times or whatever it was, Tommy DeVito, in that game. But that has more to do with New York's lack of offensive line than anything else. So this is a game where the Dolphins should be able to operate on time. Tua should be on time and be able to execute what he wants to execute in the way that he should execute it. But on the other side of the ball, it's a slightly different story, and we're going to get into that. But before we get into that, Mike, let's talk about our friends from Caldera Lab, because it's the holiday season, and that means that it's time to glow. Your Christmas tree glows, your Christmas lights glow, your menorah glows. It's the season of glowing. You got to make sure your skin glows. And guys, if you want your skin to glow, There's no better product to use than Caldera Labs. Mike, what do they got? They got all the gimmicks. They got the eye serum.
They got the eye serum.
The beard stuff.
They got the base layer. They got the base layer, which is like a soap or cream for your face. They got the beard. It's just called the beard. If you got a beard, it'll sort of soften, moisten your beard and the skin around it. They have exfoliating soap, if you know, for when you're in the shower. Nice exfoliating. I always like saying the word exfoliating soap. They got a bunch of products, and they've made it simple because they know men aren't like females who are going to, you know, an hour or two before bed, start putting on one thing, put on a mud mask or whatever, let it sit for like 20 minutes and take it off, put on something else. No, 1 minute in the morning, 1 minute at night. That's it. Simple and does the job. Convenient, does the job. CalderaLab.com, promo code Dolphins Talk. Save 20%.
So there it is. Listen, if you want to have a face that glows right alongside the Christmas tree,
yes.
CalderaLab.com, promo code Dolphins Talk, and you are going to be good to go, my friends. All right. The Washington offense. This is where this team actually has some weapons, and this is a team that has played a couple of close games with the Philadelphia Eagles this year. They have the ability to play some teams tough. They have some ability to move the ball, and I think it starts with their quarterback, Sam Howell. He is far from the finished article. Okay, this is a guy who is prone to making some mistakes. He'll make some bad throws. He's a little bit of a gunslinger. Okay, and I think that's something that the Dolphins are probably going to be able to take advantage of. But when he's on his game, this is a guy that can make some plays. This is a guy that likes to throw on the run. He's a guy who likes to move around, so he's not going to be some sitting duck in the pocket for the Dolphins. This is an athletic quarterback who will run. He can run for yardage. He can run for touchdowns. This is a good athletic quarterback. So the Dolphins may have their hands full with him. This is not Tim Boyle, who's just going to sit back there and let you know, knock his teeth out, okay? This is a guy that's got some mobility to him. And he's got some weapons, too. Brian Robinson, a big physical running back. Antonio Gibson, who has not gotten a lot of run this year, but he's back there as well. They've got great receivers, Terry McLaurin and Jahan Dotson, and, you know, a good tight end and Logan Thomas as well. So this is a team that can move the ball. But it's also a team that'll give up some sacks. It's also a team that'll put the ball on the ground. And based on what the Dolphins defense has shown that they're capable of doing, I think it really makes you think that that this Dolphins defense might find themselves feasting. This might be, you know, an opportunity to score some points, put some points on the board on the defensive side of the ball because of how active Washington is. Mike, have you spent a lot of time watching Sam Howell and these Washington Commanders this year?
The only time I've really seen him is when I bet against him, if that means anything. I did see a couple of games versus the Eagles, and Sam Howell leads the NFL in passing yards.
That's right.
Mostly because the team's always behind in the second half and they're throwing every play. But there's something there. I mean, is he a high-end number one starting quarterback? No, he's not. But is he a respectable, capable NFL quarterback? Absolutely. And in games where he gets a hot hand, it gets hot, and he can make plays. Now, last week versus the Cowboys on Thanksgiving did not look good, but the whole offense didn't look good. And his offensive line isn't great, which could be an issue for the Dolphins, because here's the deal. We obviously know Jalen Phillips went down, and what we saw in Hard Knocks is there, at least for a week, I don't know if for six regular season games and a playoff run, if Andrew Van Ginkle and Emmanuel Agba can replace what we had from Jalen Phillips. They'll replace some of that production. I don't know if they're going to be able to sustain it for that many weeks to go as far as you want to go in the playoffs. But for 1 week, for this week, I think, yes, they could feast, because they're going to be motivated to show, look, he's gone, but we got your back, and we're going to have a day. So I could see the pass rush having a day this week against Washington. And Sam Howell, he's got players. I will say this. Little bit of a mistake-prone guy when he does throw it. And what gives me a little bit of confidence is Ramsey and Howard, him throwing against two seasoned veterans like them and maybe making some mistakes or being nervous and trying to be too perfect and just throwing incompletions more than completions. So I think that plays in Miami's favor there. And plus the Dolphins had a few extra days. Well, they each had a few extra days off because they played on Thursday and Friday, respectfully. So I just think the Dolphins, look, Vic Fangio has been outstanding this year, and I don't think he's going to get outcoached here by this team. Eric Bieniemy's calling the plays on offense, and you know, he's done an admirable job with what he's got. He's got a tight end, he's got a couple of running backs, but the Dolphins have been outstanding versus the run, pretty much since week one, essentially. They've been outstanding versus the run, and the pass defense, you know, if Holland's not out there, sure, that changes things, but I think they'll be okay. I think, you know, I don't see Washington going nuts, putting up like 24, 30 points, and I think Miami will get, you know, is Miami ever going to score like less than 20 in a game? Seems unlikely. So worst case, you're looking at a close game. Best case, you're looking at like a 2-touchdown win or 3-touchdown win, probably. Not to sound too confident, but I think this is going to be a ho-hum game, like the Jets game, like the Panthers game, like the Giants game, where, yeah, the score at moments might look close, but was it ever really competitive? No. Was the outcome ever in doubt? No. Might be one of those games.
Yeah, and I think the line on this game was 9.5. I don't know what it currently is. Is it still 9.5?
Yep.
Stayed steady. So, I mean, that tells you a lot about what people think about this game. I mean, that's still a pretty big spread there. And I think that the Dolphins should, again, as long as they stay disciplined and do what they're supposed to do, I can't imagine too many scenarios where this Washington offense is going to be troubling this Dolphins defense, particularly in light of how the defense has been performing in recent weeks. So we'll give our predictions for this game in a second, but it is time to share our hashtag one hot take. So this is where we ask you to tell us, what is your hashtag one hot take for Dolphins at Commanders this Sunday? Mike, I put the call out onto to Twitter earlier today, and I got some good responses here. Well, you told me yours. You know what? I'm not going to read yours. I'll let you deliver it in person. But we got Jack Ross 366 says 8 sacks for the defense and 175 yards rushing for Raheem Mostert. Wow, that would be a big day. William V says Tyreek gets 200 yards. Tua Dime says McDaniel's going to air it out. Tua 400 yards and 4 touchdowns. Love that. JD keeps it simple. Just says trap game. Mr. underscore C. This is Shane Clingy 90. And this is a guy who he says he's using reverse psychology here. He says no touchdowns for Alec Ingold, which on its face is not a terribly hot take. But, of course, that is the joke that is towards me. If you're a longtime listener to this program, you know that every week my one hot take is that Alec Ingold will have a receiving touchdown.
I can't believe he doesn't have one yet, honestly.
He doesn't have any touchdowns at this point.
No, he doesn't have anything.
Yeah.
Oh.
They have not been utilizing him as much in the passing game as they did last year. But, you know, they don't have to.
That's it.
Three Kids Are Blessed, he says, playing with LT3, LG2, and RG2 is not a model built for long-term success. You know, it's true, but as I've said before, Butch Berry is a magician. And what they're showing is that, you know, while they might not get the elite level of offensive line play, I don't know if their offensive line was elite, but they're not getting the same top-tier effort from their offensive line. It's not like that offensive line is collapsing in on itself when the starters are out the way that it has in the past. So that's, you know,
I still stand by my original thing. Butch Berry done a great job, so this is not a knock at him. We have 4 to 5 starting offensive linemen in a contract year. I will take that every year. You will get the best performance out of 4 of your
Absolutely.
5 best players. Because they are motivated by moolah. And that's funny how that works, isn't it?
It is. It is very funny. But let's see. Travis Moore says Miami will not punt all game.
That's not and, really a good take at this point.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's to not punt at all. I don't know that that's happened yet this year. I think
wasn't
the last
there like a streak last year where Thomas Moore said like 6 or 7 games with no punts? I think there was. It was like
was it that long?
Streak. I don't know if it was 6 or 7. It was like at least 4, I think.
Yeah,
maybe
it was
even more. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like a game and a half or something like that. But it was, yeah.
It was a game and a half. It had to be more than that.
I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Miami Mark says Mike White will get to play over half the fourth quarter of this cakewalk. I like it. Ryan Meppam says Tua running touchdown and hits the gritty. Love it. And then Tua will be, this is from J Max, Tua will become the first Dolphins quarterback since Ryan Tannehill to defeat the Washington franchise. Is that, let's see. I mean, it hasn't been that many quarterbacks who the Dolphins have had.
Yeah, I can't think of it.
But maybe it's true.
Tannehill and him. Yeah,
it might have been 10-0. It might have been, because when was the last time we even played Washington?
Exactly. I'm trying to think. Had to be
4 years ago. Probably would have been 10-0.
I don't even know who. Oh, you know what? I was at that game. Fitzpatrick, we lost. You're right. He's right.
It is.
I was at that game with Tom. We lost that game. That was the 2019 season where we almost won that game. It was almost our first win of the year. And everyone was getting nervous because everyone was kind of wanting to lose to get the first pick, tank for Tua or tank for whoever. And it came down to the end. And, we lost. We came through. We lost.
All right. So there it is. Let's see here. We got Dan Janhunen says, my one hot take is that a defensive line player gets a sack and throws up a 1 and a 5 for Jalen Phillips. I love it. Jordan Murray says, one hot take, Tua, 6 touchdowns. Wow. How about this one from Finns, New Jersey? One hot take, Van Ginkel, multiple sacks and strip sack in JP's absence. JM Santos, our big fan JM Santos, says 3 INTs, 1 defensive score, 1 throws for 400 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Reek gets 2 touchdowns. Waddle and Ingold each get 1. Oh, a man after my own heart.
Good Lord, that's a lot of them. What's the Powerball numbers?
It's unbelievable. Let's see. What else do we have here? I think we got a couple more. Howell will have his lowest amount of passing yards in a game this season. That's from Josh Ritter. Jeff Harris says his one hot take is we win again and we'll still get flack from the national media, of course. And then there's Dan Janhunen. We shared that one earlier. So, Mike, you want to go ahead and give us your one hot take for this game?
Yeah, and I want to comment on Jordan Murray's of Tua for 6 touchdowns, because the last time, correct me if I'm wrong, Tua was in the Virginia, Maryland, Washington, D.C., Baltimore region, he did throw for 6 touchdowns. So if history repeats itself and he does that again, both those teams should be calling us, offering us every pick we have, because Tua is obviously a fan of that region.
Tagovailoa's play well in the DMV. You know,
you got the other ones in Maryland.
His brother is down there in Maryland. So.
Yeah, so crazy. Here's the deal. As I said, no Jalen Phillips. I think the defense is going to rally for at least a week. I mean, that you can only carry that type of momentum so far. And I think they're going to have a day. And my boy, Andrew Van Ginkel, is going to have himself a big day. He's going to go nuts and have not a 1-sack game, not a 2-sack game. Andrew Van Ginkel will have a 3-sack game. AVG, 3 sacks. Put it on the board. And I got my one hot take right last week as well.
So there it is. Put it on the board. Take the over on whatever Andrew Van Ginkel's sack number is, whatever his prop is for sacks. Take the over on that one. Well, I love it. Well, let's think about score predictions then. And again, I'll repeat that my one hunt take is Alec Ingold receiving touchdown. But my score prediction in this one, I think this is going to be a little bit of a cakewalk for the Dolphins. Maybe it won't start out that way, but it'll end that way. So give me the Dolphins winning this game by a score of, I'll throw a Jason Sanders field goal in there. Give me the Dolphins 45-13.
Whoa.
Mike, what do you got here?
I think it's going to be, like I said, one of those ho-hum wins. Here's the deal. Washington is like one of the most boring teams in the league. They don't have any like true superstars that like excite you. The owner, the last owner, was a crazy man. It's now gone. Ron Rivera, he's a dead man walking. He's getting fired here. But seems like a nice enough guy. Eric Bieniemy's kind of like that guy who everyone wants to hire. It's kind of a, not a sad story, but everyone's kind of rooting for him. They're like boring. They're just blah. And this game's going to be just blah. I got Miami 27-14. The game won't be that close, but it's just like, just one of those games. It's like, it's good. It's there. They'll win. And hopefully nobody gets hurt. That's really what it comes down to.
That's it. So what did you say the score would be?
27-14.
So there it is. So there are our predictions for Dolphins, Commanders. Let us know, what is your score prediction for this game? Let us know in the comments on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. If you're watching there before, or if you're watching live, if you're watching after the fact, let us know in the comments if you think the what your one hot take is. We want to know that too. So leave it in the comments. Let us know what you think. Do you think the Dolphins should go out and sign Zach Ertz? Let us know. Put it in the comments. Let us know. Interact with us. Leave a comment. Smash that like button. We appreciate it as always. We will be back. So I think that's going to wrap up this episode of the Same Old Dolphin Show. Unless, Mike, you've got any other thoughts that you want to share on this Dolphins Commanders game.
I will say this, 8-3. We were 8-3 last year. This is kind of where the wheels fell off. But we were 8-3 last year going on a hellacious stretch of at San Francisco, at the Chargers, who were a playoff team last year, and then at the Bills. And it was a brutal stretch. And then, of course, we got the Packers game, and Tua gets there. Like, the wheels fell off for a reason, because the schedule wasn't in our favor. This year, we're 8-3. The schedule's in our favor. The Bills having a rocky year. The division, it's right there at the end of our fingertips. Enjoy this. I know, myself included, we can come on here and we can, you know, be critical at times. And I try not to be too critical, honestly. I really don't. But really, 8-3 with how the schedule's playing out, these types of seasons, every Dolphin fan, I don't care how old you are, should know, they don't come around often. And I have no idea how it's going to end. And they might crush our dreams in the end. And we'll all be on here going, same old Dolphins. That might happen. I don't know. But right now, heading into December at 8-3, with the next three games, who we got? With as many home games as we have coming up. With this team, how it's assembled right now, because let's be honest, we know the salary cap implications beyond this year. Not, we can't keep everybody. There's going to be some guys who are going to be sad. Enjoy it. This is our window. Everything's set up. Enjoy the season. Enjoy these games right now in December, where you got some teams that are packing up, looking at the draft. We ain't. We're looking at how many playoff games we're going to win, and what we're thinking, not if we're going to win the AFC East, what week are we going to clinch? I mean, hello, when was the last time a Dolphins fan could say that? So enjoy it. Have some fun. This is why we follow this team year round. This is why we follow this team in May, June, July. We're doing random podcasts those months. We're covering the team because moments like this, seasons like this, and this has got a chance to be a special season. Let's hope we finish it strong. And let's have some fun beating up on the Washington stinking Commanders this week at FedEx Field.
Let's do it. Let's go down to the DMV and come away with a big victory for your Miami Dolphins. Let's do it this Sunday. Let's go 9-3, take that 3-game lead. And just, again, it's all about taking care of business. It's all about taking care of business. This game and the two games that following it, if you take care of business against those inferior teams, then that puts you in a place where you get those last three games of the season, and then you get to those prove it games, and then you can go out there and then you can really start to prove it. But right now, all you got to do is take care of business. And the reason that you're in this position that you can take care of business and put yourself in pole position to become the one seed or the two seed in the AFC is because some of these other teams have failed to take care of business. So as long as you go out there and continue to take care of business, you're going to be in good shape. And again, that is what this game is all about against the Washington Commanders. This is not a team that on paper should trouble you. You should go in there and take care of business. So go take care of business.
Yeah. And what if the comment Dolphin... I want to bring up here, Josh,
real quick.
Sorry to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
J.M. Santos made a prediction. And I can tell him his prediction is already wrong. J.M. Santos, I predict Mike and Tom will have a great postgame show.
He's wrong. He's wrong. I can confirm he's wrong.
Wrong. Because Tom's going to be unable to join me. He has some family obligations this week. And I will be joined by the great and talented one half of the same old Dolphin show, one half of the brothers, Josh Katzker, will be joining me Sunday after the game, pretty much right when the game ends, shortly after. Myself and Josh will be on with the postgame show. So, J.M., we love you, J.M. You're probably our most loyal listener. You're in all these chats on our shows. You're the best. But you are wrong, unfortunately.
And it's going to be great. So join us. Oh, you're welcome, Jeff. He says, thank you for all that you guys do for Dolphin fans. Hey, listen, and I also want to say this. Shout out to everybody who's sharing their Spotify Wrapped on Twitter. Yes. That is sharing their Spotify Wrapped, saying that the Dolphins Talk Podcast Network is up in their rankings and is something that they listen to all year long. Thank you so much for all of your support. We really appreciate it. The fact that you are listening to us and like you see our network up there with some of the other podcasts that we're up there with is like, it's a real honor that anybody would spend any amount of time wanting to listen to what we have to say about the Miami Dolphins. And the fact that there's so many of you out there that are listening and that care and that are passionate about the team like we are, we really appreciate it. So we thank you for your interactions. We thank you for your support and, you know, stick with us because we got only more good stuff coming your way. Speaking of good stuff coming your way, Mike and I will be together on the post-game wrap-up show on Sunday. We should be going live. I'm pretty sure we're going to end up going live right after the game ends on Sunday.
I'll be ready.
So
I'll be ready.
You can join us then. And then, of course, I will be back on Monday as well with Aaron the Brain for our usual Monday wrap-up show. And yeah, listen, this is it's a good time to be a Miami Dolphin fan right now. So continue to savor it. Continue to hold the team accountable. Oh, the Brain just came through. I just got a text right now as we're wrapping
what
up.
Did the Brain
he
say?
Sent me his hashtag one hot take.
Oh, okay, this is breaking news.
His hashtag one hot take. Tyreek, 200 yards receiving.
That secondary, that's very possible. That secondary is very possible because Washington is not known for the coverage unit there at safety and corner. Yeah, that would be great. Miss Mary, have her class be real busy on Monday if he gets 200 yards.
Absolutely. Miss Mary, who is now the social media coordinator for Pro Football Network. So
yeah,
my good buddy David Behrman going out there and bringing in some top-tier talent over there at PFN. If you haven't
closing
checked
deals
out... I'll give them a little plug too. If you haven't checked out PFN, they do some great stuff over there. They've got a Dolphins beat writer in Adam Beasley. Good website, lots of good content over there. I'll do my friend Dave a little favor.
Absolutely, great guy, great people.
We're not being compensated for that yet.
No,
Dave,
free plug right there.
That's a free plug.
That's why, you know, I was going to say why we're so high on these, Spotify raps and why people listen. It's because, you know, it's a few things, but A, we are authentic. We are who we are. Like Josh, you know, we've been doing this long enough. Aaron's who Aaron is. You are who you are. Ian is who Ian is. I am who I am. Like we are authentic. What you see is what you get. There's no sugarcoating. There's no agendas. We're not pushing narratives. We are who we are. And also, I like to think, you know, we're very relatable to people. A lot of these shows. Look, there's a lot of great Miami Dolphins podcasts. I'm not knocking any Dolphins podcasts. I'm talking about podcasting in general. Okay, not Dolphins. People talk at the audience. They don't talk to they talk to them. They talk at them. They don't talk with them. And I think we talk with our audience. Like, look, here's what I feel this way. Here's why. Some people agree. Some people won't agree. But we're very relatable in how we sort of interact with the audience. And look, we are on the roller coaster with them. Clearly, we are.
Yeah, and one thing on this show, we're never gonna be. I don't want anybody to ever think that I think I'm better than you or you think you're no better. Or I know better. And, that's not how we roll here. We're just fans. We're just fans. I don't want to tell anybody else how to be a fan. I don't want to tell you how to be a fan. I'm not going to tell Mike how to be a fan. I'm going to tell you how I am a fan and I'm going to tell you how I am feeling. And if you feel the same way, terrific. And if you don't feel the same way, terrific. That's why this works. That's why being a Dolphins fan works because there are so many different kinds of people. There are people that want to talk about the X's and O's and the analytics and the this and the that. And they want to talk about EPA and they want to talk about, you know, whatever. That's fine. Right. That's great. And there's a niche for you. Right. There's room for you. And there's people that don't want to. There's people that just want to talk about the Dolphins because they like looking at Tyreek's butt. Fantastic. Good for you. Welcome to the club. Right. That's why I don't care that there are people who like you got all these people in Kansas City who are up in arms because there's all these Taylor Swift fans who are into watching the Chiefs because, Travis Kelce is dating Taylor Swift. I don't care. It's fine. Because at the end of the day, we're all in it to watch football. We're all into it because for 3 hours on a Sunday, we can sit down and watch our favorite team and cheer for them. And hopefully they'll bring us a little bit of joy. And as it stands, we've been miserable for so long as fans of this team. Finally, we have a team that consistently week in and week out, even when they're not playing their best, is still giving you a product that you can get into and that you can feel good about and you can feel good about supporting. So regardless of why you watch, regardless of how you watch, if you're hearing this and you're a fan of the Miami Dolphins, thank you. Thank you for being part of the Miami Dolphins fan family. Thank you for listening to the show. Thank you for being part of this. Thank you for interacting with us. Thank you for leaving comments. Thank you for liking videos. Thank you for smashing the like button and subscribing. And this is really something for me. I even want to say thank you for putting in your stupid little AI prompts and putting AI art on the internet of dolphins, Miami Dolphins sitting on a couch wearing the other team's jersey. I think it's the dumbest thing on the planet. I'm sick and tired of the AI art that I see on Facebook. Like, here's a bunch of sad fans with a Dolphins jersey on, or here's some guy, here's Tua Tagovailoa standing in front of a stadium in downtown Miami, even though the stadium isn't in downtown Miami. Whatever the case, right? I think AI is the stupidest thing when it comes to this AI programmed art, right? Listen, learning how to manipulate AI prompts to generate specific images that look nice is certainly a skill. It's not a skill that I think there's a ton of value in at this point, but if that's how you fan, congratulations. Thank you for supporting the Miami Dolphins. I'm so glad to be part of this journey with you. Thank you very much. That's going to wrap up the show.
We're clipping that, getting that out first thing in the morning. That's awesome. But yes, no, you're 100% right. I don't care. We're all fans at the end of the day. But I always hate the positive, negative. We're all fans. We're having a year. We're in December. Enjoy it. And if they give us that swift kick to the nuts at one point, so be it. We'll talk about that then. But for right now, really, if you can't enjoy this, what the hell do you watch the games for? Why are you listening to us in March, April, May, and June? But yeah, that's what it is. Check out DolphinsTalk.com, everyone. And yeah, this is it. Let's have some fun. Let's finish this bad boy.
There we go. So that
let's finish the story.
That is going to wrap us up for this episode of the Same Old Dolphin Show. Me and Mike will be back in your ears on Sunday for the post-game wrap-up show. I'll be back with Aaron on the Same Old Dolphin Show on Monday. But until then, let's just go out there, take care of business. Let's get that dub. As always, take care of yourselves and each other, and we will talk to you again next time. Bye-bye, everybody. Go Dolphins!